we're a matter that has to be judged in the Torah. This Torah is the proper way that we should judge all the schools. You may second guess it in Torah. I had a Rosh Hashiva in my house in Shabbos. He also serves as an Abed in Yerushalayim. So like, told me that you have a child about Pasha, about whether it's a certain place of food, Pasha or not Pasha. No, this way, that way, but you know, this is the, least, the basics, you know, there's a spoon, there's a fork, there's a knife, there's a pot, there's water. You may second guess it in Torah. I had a Rosh Hashiva in my house in Shabbos. He also serves as an Abed in Yerushalayim. So like, he told me that you have a child about Pasha, about whether it's a certain flavor of food, Pasha or not Pasha. No, this way, that way, but you know, this is the basics, you know, there's a spoon, there's a fork, there's a knife, there's a pot, there's water, there's meat, there's milk. So we have a general idea of the concept of this car about monetary management. Two people can look at it and see two totally different pictures. Like, you know, from east to west, it's just that there been no resemblance to one another at all. How do you look at it? It's a question of how outlook. So people second guess the best. I don't like two people second guess the best. Whether I'm on or not on. That's the best rule, the rule. I've served, why do I get involved in this? Another good question. People tell me you're crazy. And I am crazy, probably. Because the Zimtara will usually make two enemies. Both parties hate you afterwards because none of them is happy with exactly what you said. Usually, I don't know, sometimes they don't like you. It depends on the case. But then they start second guessing the best. The best made a mistake, the best didn't realize, the best was heartless. That's a theme I want to touch. The best was heartless. No, the best is heartless. Some of the best has to be heartless. Like, here's a case, you know, a person, I was thinking one case he passed it on, and there was the irony, one of the many ironies, with a case like this. Forgive me if I digress a little bit about this Torah, but it's important to get a background to these things. One case I had like this. There was a Swedish guy from Borough Park, and he had a Din Torah against somebody from Riverdale. What happened to Din Torah? What happened was that, unfortunately, many things go to court. But court gets complicated in this way, that way. So he sent him a hazmona to come to a din Torah. To come to Bezin and Borough Park. This guy lives in Riverdale. He didn't want to go to Borough Park. He figured that's the guy's home turf. Just come to Riverdale. To my Bezin. So and the guy asked me, would we respond? Would we be able to come to the Bezin? I said, yeah, we'll get the rub on him. We'll see. He looked at the guy would say no. The other guy said, yeah, okay, I'll go to your apartment, no problem. Then here's a guy with a long Swedish levush, you know, coming and sitting in front of three Riverdale rabbis, you know, whatever, I won't name who they were. And we are listening, and after an hour it becomes apparent that this guy from Riverdale, although he may have had a winning case at the beginning, but he signed it away. He signed away, all his cards for a reason. What was the reason? He had compassion on somebody. Compassion on somebody, wanted to help the guy out. So based on that, his compassion, he signed away all of his, what we might call his cards. And then the guy goes on. Typically, he sat down with him. And it was brought down to him immediately. You signed away your cards. But I did it. See, he said, his answer back, yeah, but I did it because I had left one of the next. Next is the third party, not one of the parties of the case. We popped like the guy from Barbuck. The guy from Barbuck. It was right, and it didn't serve. We were heartless. That was the case, we were heartless. Why didn't we favor the guy who had a heart? If you have a heart and you give someone money or you give someone, so you gave it away, what are you kidding me? That was such a crazy time it was that. So out of y'all, they're upset that the best in Riverdale is heartless. I don't remember that kidding. I mean, yeah. Yesterday, an interesting case. I had another story yesterday. The case was interesting, of course, without mentioning any of the parties concerned. But it's a fascinating case. It was a very interesting story. A guy sold a house. And after the house was sold, he discovered certain defect in the house. Okay? So the guy, the first guy spent an hour showing us the defect. Pictures and this. And he had brought an extra witness who testified. There's no question that the defects were there. At least the defects. That's what's called there. The root cause of the defect was there before the house was sold. So what did he do to this guy? So when the house was sold and it was a defect, he went in and he fixed it. Ran at the bill of 5 figures. And I presented that bill to the seller. So the seller has two counterclaims. First counterclaim was, he put out a contract. The contract was buying it as is. They brought in a lawyer's brief and said that the guy had opportunity to check it out, and the engineer checked it out, and he checked it out, and there had no complaints, etc., etc. Second, he said, you had a claim. You should have come to the seller when you found this thing, because this thing is no good. Give me my money back. Take your house back. You didn't do that. You went and you fixed it up on your own. See, that's crazy, the guy. If you're fixing it up on your own, they can send it over to somebody else. That's crazy. That's a good person. So, you have to decide what to do. But it's interesting. There may be a difference in this particular Din Torah between what we call the Din Torah itself, had there been no agreement between the parties, and the fact that they signed a contract. If you signed a contract, that means you agree that between you, the deal is such and such. In other words, for argument's sake, it's possible that if they hadn't signed the contract, and just they went through without any agreements, and they really have to pass them one way or another, yeah. The Mekakot, so the basic structure was missing something, even though it wasn't so clearly apparent at the time. Whereas if they agreed, that's going to be the title of the chance as is, you can't complain about anything else afterwards. The next the pilpul wasn't really working order or not, but there were certain simanim of the problem even before. Some third part of it in between, and it all depends how you look at things. Then, of course, these all these have several rules and that you read about all over the place. It happened in Riverdale, there was one not long ago, but the Bezin passed in a certain way. So, one party says the Bezin wasn't right. So, I just had it in a meeting of her just a few days ago. So, one of the rabbis says, what do you mean? First of all, the Bezin is right. And second of all, Aim the higher not for a Bezin. The Bezin says it, it's said it, finished, that's all. And you have no right to question it, because by definition it's right. Truth matters, we learned Sanhedrin. That was 5 years ago, whatever it was, she learned Sanhedrin. Anyone who doesn't hear me, she learned Sanhedrin, anybody? 4 years ago. So there's a whole discussion, this is referred to talk to Shigal Adas, talk to Bar Mishnah. Yeah, most of the take is there, but takes it all of the Shigal Adas. And there's Santa Claus, and then there's a good thing, and that's all. And you can't come back to the dying, okay, if you have to malpractice to the dying. Now there was a big thing which was covered in the newspapers. Anyone here from Burgess County? I don't have the details. There was a big thing in all the papers about a certain thing which has ended up in the Din Torah. Also with stores and this and signs and all the things. Not exactly a proper thing that we put up in all the newspapers. Not the place to resolve the newspapers. And now they decide they're going to go to Din Torah. But Din Torah says it's finished. That's the end. And they'll bottom out the pieces because the Din Torah is enforced. Whatever may happen. Unfortunately, there are times when people don't listen to the Din Torah. And they just don't listen. So I was involved in a case. Well, one party was not listening to this show, but after due consultation said, listen, if you can't get it enforced by his agreement, if he signed it, he will agree, whatever he says, you have a right to go to court. So I have a call from somebody, I'm going to tell the guy to go to court. The party is not listening to the stock. Of course not. The stock is wrong. So I said, but even if I agree with you, I told the guy, I found it nice. If I agree with you, I'm only one of the day on it. There's two others. I mean, I can't agree with you on the phone and say that. Made a mistake. And second, who said it to the second? Well, you're in a gamble, though. That's a pretty dastardly charge. I said, why am I in a gamble, though? It's because it's your stock. It's going to have your stock in court. I said, every judge who makes in a gamble, though? No. Only judge who makes a mistake. You're passing right, you want to enforce it down again. You're passing wrong, then you're in a gamble, though. Now, why get involved in these things? What? He's a rabbi. Whatever the guy did, unbelievable. But the guy was, so the guy who called me says, unbelievable. He went to a prominent rabbi. He's not so that prominent. He went to a much more prominent rabbi and had the prominent rabbi write a letter to the party who is now taking this case to court without permission. Obviously, didn't tell him he was in court. Didn't tell him there was any permission from them to go to court. But this prominent rabbi wrote a letter to the other party saying, it's come to my attention that you're taking a co-religionist to court. I want to inform you that according to the law of the Torah, you have to go to a rabbinical tribunal. You cannot go to the court. Please cease and desist from going to court and find you. I sent one other thing to please inform this prominent rabbi that, you know, they did go to the rabbinical court. And the rabbinical court said something, and the rabbinical court sacked and disregarded. And that's how the rabbinical court sort of, ooh, nobody told me that. So he wrote was 100% correct. He wrote was 100% correct. Has nothing to do with the fact. But that he was, I can't blame this rabbi, prominent rabbi. The other rabbi I can blame. The prominent rabbi, he did, I was doing the same thing. Someone tells me, Gaval, the guy's taking me to court. He's supposed to be doing Torah, right? Right. Write me a letter, right? Right. They write a letter. Nothing wrong with that. So, you know, very often, all you get from these things is just youngness. I mean, there's nothing, it's worth it. People do this, you don't get, you know, you get aggravation. But I feel there's an obligation, we have to do this to, you know, we believe in the Torah. It's an integral part of our halakhic system. It's something that's unfortunately been disused for many years, especially in this country, especially in the quote-unquote modern Orthodox. You see, this is another trying to keep my heart more than my mind. And this idea of modern Orthodox story, you know, modern. Modern Orthodox is used as an excuse sometimes not to do things which are held up. So that's the most crazy. Modern Orthodox means you don't have to go to a discourse and you can choose to go to secular course without modern Orthodox. Especially on Torah Mada. That's why I go to use Torah Mada as a license for other practices. And the people who come and say, I'm going to come up with my, what are you talking about? You're against dating or co-ed. We're modern Orthodox. You know, I mean, we have a different Shulchan Aruch. What the implication of that statement is. And we don't believe in that. There's no difference in that. There's always different interpretations. I mean, clear. There could be differences within the modern or within the not modern. They always were different. Okay. But just to say, because we're modern, that means that we have a regarded by a different set of rules automatically. And that's really, that's not. Put the quote-unquote model up in a very good light, and I'm going to tell you. And we have to say straightforward what we mean. Unfortunately, modernity has an erosive impact on mitzvahs and Yerushalayim Shemayim, because it affects our way of thinking about things. It reminds you of the famous fight, quote-unquote, between the Hasidic Rebbes, going back to the time of Napoleon. You know the story? I heard it for the first time in Moscow. I heard it subsequently in America, but I think I heard it for the first time when I was in Moscow. Apparently, there was a... Maybe I heard it the first time. I don't know. I know I heard it in America. I also heard it in Moscow. Two somewhat different versions. Apparently, in the year 18... the early 1800s... I think it was 1700s. I don't know. You're talking about history. The big battle between Napoleon and the Tsar of Russia. All right, big, big battle coming up, and it was going to be a tremendous battle, basically the heart of Europe. Who's going to be in charge of Europe? Napoleon wants them to go east, you know, conquer all the Russia, and be in charge of Hungary, Poland, Ukraine, Lithuania, all the Jews live. And Russia, of course, they were fighting back. And the Rebbe had a chalukah day. It's who should win. How's they going to take out swords to fight either side, but, you know, they're going to die. Who should win? But apparently, many of the Rebbe's voters just wanted Napoleon to win. After all, the Tsar was so repressive. He was a murderer. Killed. I'm not sure you're killing. Stop murderers. The heinous. Murderers. The Jews suffered terribly at his hands. Napoleon spoke, you know, emancipation, liberty, equality, fraternity, you know, religion. He cycled a little bit, except for me, Napoleon. But everyone else was literally, you know. So, but it was basically a progressive. The Rebbe said, look, the Jews will be able to take the yoke off their heads. They'll be able to live a normal life. They'll stop having a family officially. He had a Sanhedrin, he got some rights with a Sanhedrin. Oh, wow. Well, it wasn't a not Sanhedrin, but actually. But there was a very, they did a number on it. But anyway, other rabbis said no. If Napoleon will emerge victorious, what's going to happen will be, there'll be emancipation, there'll be liberty, there'll be a stop of anti-Semitism, there'll be total assimilation to Jewish people. They weren't wrong at all. Rather, the Jews should suffer repression, anti-Semitism, poverty, and not have the risk of assimilation. But the way I heard the story was that everyone knew that whoever blows shofar or kishana first or better, I mean, measure it, that's going to be the carry of the day. You know, kishana we believe, as we say, the peanuts blow you, and the peanuts are on this part of kishana. Which will win or will lose, the Shuffle and the Yoram and Medina too. There was one that I, unfortunately, I forgot his name. I forgot the name of the Rebbe. Who was about to blow Shofar, got up early, and blow Shofar in his steeple, in his shul, on Rosh Hashanah. He had this tremendous kavanah, he was going to daven for Napoleon. These tremendous kavanah to daven Napoleon should win. And he's about to blow, and then he's drawing the kavanah, he's up there in the early Mr. Yonatan. Told the Hasidim he blew it. The Litvak had gewonnen. The Litvak one. Who was the Litvak? This was the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rabbi Ladi, they called him a Litvak. But he, you know, the Russian, they never had Lubavitcher speak, they speak with a little, with the A, with the Su, with like a little Litvisher kind of a, huh? Right, white Russia, Lithuania, was that neck of the woods. How did the Alter Rebbe blew first? He got a speak and a previous speak. I don't know what he did. The Hefer Kavana, whatever he did. He blew for the Tsar. There's a whole literature about him. There's a whole digging Napoleon. There's a whole tirade about this. The Alter Rebbe beat Napoleon. You think the British beat him, the Russians beat him, the Scottish. The Alter Rebbe beat him. But the truth of the matter is that the Gedolim of the 19th century, when it all came apart, basically, not the 20th. 20th already had come apart, basically. It came apart more in the first 40 years in Europe of the 20th century. But it already had come apart and come unstuck to a large extent in the 19th century. That was when it really came apart. The fabric of insular Jewish society, when everyone was observant, and everyone, until then it was very strong. So someone just told me now, and I want to tell this story before I forget it, that apparently Rabbi Akiva Eger, who lived in Germany, at that section of Europe, Germany, Poland, that border, he asked once I think it was the Ger Rebbe, or some other Rebbe who lived fine. How come it is that in my place where I live, there's such a decline in Yiddish Shemayim, in God fearing, whereas where you live, what I understand, it's still it's on the rise, it's on the increase. There's an increase in Yiddish Shemayim. Well, I haven't seen it, but it's what somebody told me. Whatever the answer to Kivega like this. So where you come from, everyone is tolerant, of the opportunity of Mamish. Where do we come from, we scream against it, and now we're machazik ourselves. So, you know, it goes against the grain of how we sometimes think. I spoke to you before about this since on Thursday, about how tolerance it really is important. So the answer is, no spirit. Remember I mentioned on Thursday, I gotta tell you a funny story. I mentioned on Thursday that the Barbeda Bachai was no keto on the second day, because why? It's Vayavda. Somebody asked me a kasha, Vayavda made my own lemoim. Somebody asked me a kasha, where's the kasha? On the first day also said what? Vayavda Veina or Veina Poshu. So my answer was, if you don't have a poshu, you have to have a dollar. Because it's too my mind not. I happened to pick up in my house this morning, unbelievable, a calendar. The calendar is a calendar for some stalker, and the stalker is somehow related to the Eidah Haredim in Yerushalayim, and they have something from the Satan Rebbe was Gera Hakama, other Gedolei Yisrael. So the stalker would put out the calendar. Imagine the calendar you'd mop into also, although I can't say. So what happened was, they have on the front page, that you know, they have a Kabbalah from the old Russian Yiddish. You know, bring it in who's some Yiddish here, you get a kick out of it. But the Vina Rav, give it Russian. I'm not sure who the Vina Rav, but I think the Vina Rav, if they knew the Vina Rav, the Vina Rav from Williamsburg, who had passed away this last year. That's who it was. I don't know, it was a beautiful picture of God of God speaking. It says that you have to have a pilug. I believe in Shalom and Axis and everything. Yeah, but when it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu was mavdil ben mayim l'mayim. It was mavdil ben mayim l'mayim. So you have to be a pilug. Those two, we have to have a pilug. So I thought of the chuckle. Mavdil ben mayim l'mayim, although it had to be, but that was considered, it wasn't kito. That was considered a bad thing. It should have been an Arab and a Hosha. That's the Abdullah which warranted a Kito. He was told by the establishment of the Eda Haredi. He said, it's a tough race, Ayin Ches, Ayin Tesh. That's the year that it started, he said. I think it's, 1870, 1890. I think when the Chief Rabbi was established. I believe so. 20 minutes, 20. It was a tough race. Pei Zayin Tesh? It was either Ayin or Pei. I forgot which one. It was 1918 or 28. I think it means when they established the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, the cook, that's when they established the Eda Haredi, a separate Eda, which split itself off from the greater Rabbanut, etc. What's very much?
No,
it's the bench muscle. Oh, the Bayam. No, but we are found with the need of some sulfur, and we have to have the Tiluk, etc., etc. And the truth of the matter is, it's such a difficult line to draw, because everyone agrees it should be Pilug. You have to set yourself aside from the individuals who are the person. And the question, the comment then, when we say we have to be tolerant of others, right, who disagree with not the person, right, they have to be very careful when you say tolerant. Tolerant, you have to be tolerant of the person. That's very important. Right? But you don't just tell tolerant what he says. Tell him something you thought is wrong. Terribly wrong, but it's not up a choice. Right? So I don't want to be misinterpreted what I said last week. I think, you know, thoughts on communism or something like that. So what I meant to say is, I'll put it all on the mic tomorrow. Okay? We have to be tolerant of the people. You see, I got another thing. Yesterday, someone bent my ear about a certain rabbi. and this rabbi that Oisbrofen and Apotheorist and this and this and this, and I should go do something against him. So I look at that, you know, I have my disagreements with this particular rabbi, but I look for Apotheorist. Oisbrofen. What does Oisbrofen literally mean? Oisbrofen. Outcast. I'm going to have to be thrown out. It becomes very difficult. But you see, we try to be live the shalom with everybody, even if we disagree with some of the views that they espouse. And we view them to be seriously incorrect. That's how I live my whole life that way. I mean, I'm dealing with people who I disagree with on significant, you know, matters of principle. I don't view it to be after cursing. And then I begin with you, that's not. But, you know, you can disagree with other things which are, to my mind, you know, serious. So my attitude is, to the guy, Shalom Aleichem, what's wrong with being friendly with a guy like that? And if you disagree with him, I disagree. Others say no. So I think like this, in principle I think I'm right, sure. But the story with the Rebbe gives me a little bit pause. The Rebbe's time is, there's just two tolerant sorts of people, leave out their theses, leave out their ideas. I don't know. I'm not sure what the tolerance that was existed in the western part of Europe, was it towards people or towards ideas? If it's towards people, and that itself already takes away your Shemayim, then I'm in trouble. Then we're all in trouble. So if it's just towards ideas, and we have to have that dichotomy in our own existence, it's hard to have a dichotomy. But the guy is wrong, and what he says is wrong, and he thinks strongly that it's wrong. Since he's not a terrorist, so then you have to give him a measure of love and respect, or take the penis in his book, even if he's mamish a terrorist. You have to try to bring him close, as the Rambam says, and the later posts say. But the problem was to come, if you hang out too much with those people, and Rambam says you're also influenced by people you hang out with, they're going to have an impact on you. They'll take away some of your Shemayim. That's what becomes a very different attention over here. And they're doing kiruv. The kiruv is kiruv means supposed to bring them close to you, not that bring you close to them. You know, that's so the guy trying to pull someone out of the water, he gets pulled into the water. That's no good. These are some of the thoughts I wanted to share before we open up the remarks. So that's on my mind. Okay. Yeah.
You figured in this next question to get rid of it.
Right.
Just something about it, there's nothing to assimilate. There's all the same explanation that Russia wasn't meant to assimilate.
Right.
Because you go on to connect.
Right.
So in Germany, we live in a way country to have to be kind of accepted.
So you're saying the best of all worlds is to live in a society which is anti-Semitic, to run civilized.
No, but fine, that was the other argument. But again, the point that because we are so starting against it, they have nothing to do with it.
Uh-huh. Okay. But maybe maybe if a person has something to assimilate to, as we do, then is it even a more important need to be, you know, strongly opposed to those that you're opposed to. See, because we were brought up in such a liberal, quote unquote, atmosphere, then anything goes. Pluralism. That's the key word, pluralism. Big river there was. Pluralism. I think pluralistic. No. Is only when it was within bounds. This has been written by many individuals. You have to know where to draw the line, what's in and what's out of bounds. I guess people think that I'm out of bounds. People think that my accusers are also out of bounds. You know, that means that there are those who there's no limit to what the other guy said is out of bounds. It's hard to draw these boundaries, but if they have to be drawn, let's make some kind of an attempt. Let's begin the Gemara Pesuvos again, on both sides. We were discussing yesterday the issue of Kinyan Yad, Kinyan Hagbor. Okay? So, we discussed a few matters. One is, Kinyan Yad is kind of a situation where the thing is sticking out this way. Other Kinyan Yad is sticking out this way. Then the question also becomes, what is the nature of Kinyan Yad? Also a fourth question. Let's take a look. The Gemara and Shabbos, we'll start with that, the Gemara has to see. So the Gemara applies into our Gemara, very the same Gemara basically, the same it's the same Raisa, which is quoted in Subas Lamed Aleph, it's also quoted in Shabbos Tzadi Aleph, with a somewhat different nuance being emphasized. Gemara asks quotes our Raisa verbatim. The Isaka Dai, that's the Eged Klish Me Eged. What does that mean, Eged Klish Me Eged? That's the Chaz Kutzi. So the Eged Klish Me Eged. If I'm taking a sitter, and the sitter's now in the Rishita Yopis, that's the death. And I want to take it to Rishita Rav, that's all the death. Take off half, I'm not tired. Aye, but this stuff moved from Shijokas to Rishita Rav. No, but Eged Klish. So the Klish is one unit, and if you didn't take the entire thing out of Rishita Yopis, you're not tired. Is that correct? That's important to keep in mind. That's Eged Klish. What? I'm sorry? Eged Klish may Eged means the entire Klish you use one unit. Indivisible. So you can't split it in half. You cannot divide it. It's considered in half. It's this way and about this. What? Well, we'll come to that in a minute. It's just like a crude example. More like this. Let me change examples. I have now a change for it. Okay? Haven't seen it? Very important to see where it opens. It opens on this side. Zipper? It's always on one side. I have a change which is in Shusha Yachid. And the guy's in the Garavi Yose, left me alone. And here, this is Shusha Yachid. He goes past the boundary. Now half of the change point is extending past the boundary into Rishita Rabbah. The Marta Kasha. He of the neighbors Kyle on the money which is in the half of the change point which is over the Rishita Rabbah. Immediately. Would the Chiyah Shabbat not take effect till when? So the entire change point clears the border. Because Eged Kli Shmei Eged. So what are you telling me that the Easter Shabbat, Easter Geneva come at the same time? It's not true. They're coming at two separate times. Answer the Gemara, you're right. Idiyafki derech piv hokanami. And hokanami, if you take it out of this, what's piv mean? Here's a zipper. Open it. The mouth. No money there. Stop it. So if it opens up to the way with the mouth forward, and in hokanami. Right? And hokanami, that kind of case. Easter Geneva would come first. What's my answer? Hakam is my askina, the apke derech shula. What does shulayim mean? Bottom, right? Shule kadera. So it opens up this way. Opens this, if it's taken out this way. So now the pshat is like this. You can't say the guy is prone to the coins that are on the bottom of the purse. Why not? It's over the Mishnah Rabbah. Yes, no, but you can't get it out unless you go back through what? To the Mishnah Rabbah, because we don't view it as if it's a Mishnah Rabbah, but you can't get it. It's inaccessible over there. It's not considered if it has left the Mishnah Rabbah. That's the Gemara. That's what Paul got to see. Says Rashi. Now, let's not forget, what's the Kenyan in our situation? The Gara Viyose, right? That's the case of discussion. The Gara Viyose. So, what's the Kenyan? The Rashi said, Derech Shula, the Kevin lo mati mishkel lo kani bahag bahoso. Ooh. The Rashi seems to say that the nature of the Kenyan over here is the Kenyan Hagbo. Kenyan Hagbo. What's Hagbo? The Gara Viyosa. Didn't pick it up. You get the impression from Rashi, that's what I'm saying, that even in the case of Yad, right, Yad is prone in effect to Torah's Hagbo. That's what Rashi Mas over here in Shabbat on that Sadi Aleph from the day. Now, another Rashi. What's that Rashi? Sanhedrin. This Gemara that I thought was found in four places. But I am days of an Aleph and thinking more time than Sanhedrin. Says the Gemara like this. Hoya Megar Viyotze, says Rashi, Shalom is Bio, Velo Kano, Batochabai. What's the next word? The key word? Kachatero. The Alpha Pisha and Kanakbo. Vokimukim Lovit Subi. Zachron and Eskival. The Kira and Rashi. How does the Kinyan work? It's a work for Torah. Hagbo. As Rashi seems to indicate in the Sefer Shabbos and Sadi Aleph of the days. Was the work for Torah's what? The Torah Nu? The Torah's Kotzer, as Rashi indicated in Sanhedrin, on that Vayim Beis. You hear the problem? It seems to be a Sira in the Rashi. I saw here in the Sefer Mishnah of the Rohan, he quotes that this question is raised by one of the Mishnah Poshim. I don't remember exactly which one. Let's take a look. Who asked that answer? The Dvar Avraham. Who was the Dvar Avraham? The last Rav of Kovna. The Kovna Rav. In Chelek Aleph, we have it in the title there. Chelek Aleph, Simlech of Aleph, Oz, Tez, Vav, and Chav, Bey. Who asked Kasha, Sira and Rashi. Sira and Rashi. How do you answer the Sira? He's supposed to give a Teret. Unbelievable Teret. How can you answer this? There's no answer to this question. You can answer this question. Because Sira Guluya. Well, he makes the following suggestion. The suggestion is that if it's in my hand, proper, totally compressed in my hand, I'm calling it the Torah's wash, the Torah Kosher. Everything is in. Right, Kosher requires everything should be in it. But in the case of Gemara Shabbos, he says that it's mapsik and the balls are the and the agir hayad, they're in the air of my hand, then it's kona mitam agbo, aver hayad mitol ka agbo. That's the terrible. An interesting possibility. An interesting possibility. Yes. All I know is that there's a Sira in Rashi, right? That seems to be clear. Contradiction in Rashi. And the Dvar Avraham suggests this possibility. And I have to tell you, and this relates to what we've seen in the Kubet Tamole, that there's back and forth a discussion over here, how Yad works, and everyone's suggesting his own thing. And he keeps pointing out that many of the Gedolei Achronim were mechaven to what it says in the Shita without knowing it. They didn't have this Shita. So no one had this. And they still mechavet to many of the smorahs that they're found. Yes. Right. Stephen said if it's sticking out sideways, then it's not chotzer. Sticking out above it is. But he said even that's not considered chotzer. And he quotes a ritva and avodah zarah, which seems to confirm what he said. Where is that found? And of Ayin Aleph Amud Bey. Now, another important question which comes up over there in that ritva, it's also a topic in the Shita Hamole. If someone gives you something to be called about Hagbor, if it's on the floor, you pick it up, three tefachim, somebody's doing that stuff. One tefach, that's a machlokes, right? What do they give it to you in midair? Must you pick it up more? Or can you just hold it? Hold it like this? Oh, you're asking me so. Open it depends. If it's not sticking out of your hand, you'd be calling Yad B'Torah's Chotzer. No need to pick it up more. But if it's sticking out of your hand, the B'Torah's Chotzer will assume from the moment it's not work, then to be calling the B'Torah's Hagbor, then you have to pick it up. How much? One might say that everyone should agree to not have what?
No, you only need
two stuff. Three stuff, and you can argue, only watch for what reason why. You shouldn't take anything out of the category of lovehood. But if once it's out of the category of lovehood, then it should be enough to recall Hagbor Tepa. Mashu, I don't know.
Why is it out of the category of lovehood?
It's in the air. It's not near the ground anywhere. Lovehood is only when it's not in the ground. So why? But I just jam my hands in the air. Why do you say that? Love is the place where it started.
We have to remember.
Love is onto us. So it's something.
Right.
Yeah. Love is onto something that's sacred. All right. It's the error of pace of the Chiris Lamas. I mean, the handkerchief. Right. So that always happens. They give the rabbi gives you the handkerchief. What usually happens, by the way, for your information, is people don't lift it up at all. And I've seen people with a handkerchief. You sort of hold it. Well, it's a big question about that, because you see, if he took the whole handkerchief in his hand, that's one thing. If he has only a part of the handkerchief, it becomes an interesting question. Yeah. I give you a handkerchief to be cornered by a chassan. Can you take the whole handkerchief and crumple it up and put it in your hand like this? That's in front of a yacht. If I give it an handkerchief and you pick it up a tefah, then you call it the Torah. You want that one to be enough. You call it the Torah, the Torah, the Torah. Hagbor, right? Hagbor. What if you just hold on to the thing, part of it, a little bit, and don't do anything with it? Yeah. So if the other person, let's say, is not holding on to it, that'll be our Shaila, no? Let's say the rabbi gives it the cost and just holds it. Doesn't pick it up. Different story. Yeah, that's the opinion, but you have to do it. You have to be a cone of the handkerchief. That's true. We find many, also very good, find many differences in halacha in terms of opinion, whether it's what we call da'at acheres makna and ain't da'at acheres makna. So the person giving it to you has intention to put it into your rishut or not? That's a major question. That's a big difference.
What? I'm
not saying it helps. You see, the Olker's distinction is a valid one. Look, if it's going to help in our case, I can't vouch for it at the present time. Maybe it won't help. But you should say that the name is worse than it's weaker, if you will, than this. That's correct. Yes, sir.
Definitely had a story with someone who loved to a non-existent point.
Really?
Yeah. Wires were kind of like a man drooping 3 buck and were moving in the wind less than 3 buck. And we seemed to reject it during the summer because there were at least many rabbinim who felt the sense was less than 3 buck and who loved it to a non-existent point.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about that.
So they might very well say that even if you start in midair, you have to go up another 3 buck in order to change your spot. There's nothing to do with relation to the table, it has to work to the floor, it has to do with relation to the initial point.
So what's the other person moving hand away? There's not love to move in the person. Where's the love to?
No, it's love to you. You have it right here. You haven't moved it. Why didn't you do one step up?
Right. So that may be only a lover's problem, three problems. Whoever heard of this year's three problems. For the only mucker and shot that we fucking is another bearer. Oh, yeah, the average is a much fuck. So why not do it?
It's all the same.
It's based upon that, that's true. These are all questions, a very serious question. And again, I told you, I'm going to put you in a minute. At the post can talk about it, and the Shita Yeshana, the Shita which is missing, it has all the machlok. nothing that much changes. It changes my focus on fun, my focus on Rishonim. All right, but we see the godless of Gedolim, so we should never make fun. Ah, Kareda Sharei, what are you talking about? It's a mocker for an Rishonim. Even if you want to have it, it could be a mocker. Two different interpretations. Yeah. clock draw, you wouldn't have to clock draw. The clock, so you wouldn't have to well, the pen, the fiction like this. Yeah, take the fiction like this. Totally, what's in my cup? Fits perfectly in my hand. So I want a pharaoh. It would work even less three stuff, even less than one tether. I was keeping a concentrate, but assume that everyone agrees with that. You have to reorient the case a little bit to eliminate that cash. The sheikh on a car? Press the gas, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I say that milk tastes like a car. Highly because if you did not car, I'm not sure. But you often have a minute called Sikumta. Vinegar sulfur. It's most likely to acquire a car these days by starting a doctor, you know? I mean, I never bought a car like that. Huh? Idle. So, as of what moment is the car yours in the medical world? Change title, the papers change hands, isn't it? I go to a Chevy dealership. I go and buy a Lucier. Never happened yet. I go into a Chevy dealership and I drive out a 93 car. They're up there, aren't you? Yeah. A 93 car. So as of what moment is the car mine in American law? When I drive it out?
No.
When I drive past the... What? Why before I drive it out? Give you a piece of paper? When he gives you that moment of the paper is mine, now the top blows up, now it's my law.
No, you know it's called you.
I know it's hard.
What? No, there's no one when you want to come in.
What I'm trying to say is the virus depends upon the views of our books over here.
What's the corporation?
The people have in mind to require the car when the government says it, when the secular law says that they
will. You have the car,
I think so. I don't know. Okay, enough. Yes. If the whole thing is in my hand, it's going to cost even one even if it's my hand on the ground. Right? We're assuming the shoot is if it's not totally fitting in my hand. You know, it's interesting. Let me say one more thing. In Hilchos Gittin, the Rambam has a chumrah. The Rambam says that the woman's hand should be more than 3 tefachim above the ground to take it together. Happens that way. Anyway, naturally, but that's what it says. So the Paras Gittin asks, Paras Gittin is a receiver, it's the same author. He asks the Kasha, he says, why do you so much? Yad is Kona, even less than 3 tefachim. Off the question, he has an Azor. See, we've got a lot to begin with. What are you talking about? The receiver depends. This is what he says, a Mark. It's a Kiddush Gadol. The receiver says, the reason why we insist that the woman, when she gets divorced, if her hand's more than 3 tefachim on the ground, is because we're afraid that when they fold up the paper, they won't do a good job. They won't do a good job with the paper. Something's going to stick out. It's going to stick out. That's what he's saying. It's going to stick out. And we'll have the Torah. Because it won't work. But that, if it's paper, if it's protect yourself in that kind of a situation, for that you have to have what? 3 tefachim to be called in the Torah's Hakbar. I pressed the Torah's Gittin. Hakbar shouldn't work. Because he's one of those Dolan who says, you can't be called out get with a caliphate. No, can't be the most complete kenyan that we have is caliphate. You know what that is. The handkerchief, whatever that is, the sky with that, you can do anything wrong with that. So be called out with a caliphate. What does that mean? The woman wants to get, so what does she do? She give her husband a handkerchief, say, okay, I said, I'm calling her to get that you put that, you gave it to lock someone on your desk in your house. Doesn't work. So why is this different? One second. He says, that's all the kinyana which are not described by Midin Yad. Because you need kinyana to be other. But the Torah's Gittin suggests that Mashiach and Agvah, one second, are Bichlal Yad. That's a Chiddush Gadol. That Mashiach and Agvah are included in the category of Yad. represent me, watch that yourself. Watch that yourself. I'll tell you why so. Because Mashiach and Akbar, some of the workmen at Torah, the pastor, the major panel was discussed yesterday, when there's no money changing hands, how do you know? Who said it works? Pashas, the answer is Pashas. Of course, it's one of the Mashiach of the right, as you learn it, Ochonim Yadam Yisecha, Dominism Yad Yad. The Mashiach is word, you use the word Yad, Yad Yad, from hand to hand, it's passed over. Otherwise, you have to say it's based on a Svara. And the Svara is the thing we call, listen carefully, Machnis the Rishusa. The essence of Kinyan Metalton is your Machnis something if you're Rishusa. So if I'm born, the chief of the shit is Machnis the Rishusa, they have something in common that will be called Yad. Because Yad is Rishusa. What's the word Yad? The Torah, what does the word Yad mean? Rishusa. You get what's called Arts of the Yodo. Take his land out of his hand. The Rash Chazal, the Rash goes to Chumash, I think. The Rishusa. Because we know any of the other Chatzayim Minayim. The Yad includes Rishusa. So the Torah Gittin says, so too, Mashiach and Akbar are basically related to the concept of Yad. The Yad, not the Yad can include them. No way in the world that the Nuts and the Yad can include Kenyan Suda, Khalifin, Kenyan Agav, all kinds of other things are foreign. No way. But that won't work. That's what he said. Oh. Now, Achronim dispute the question as follows. If your hands are high in the air and you do not lift it further after the object is put into your hand, what's it in? We mentioned it before. What's it in? So it's a big controversy. I mentioned it before. He had some names to the controversy. The Hamakna. In Kiddush, you know the Machna is. Author of what? Aflow. A Machna is in Kiddush, and Aflow is on Suvitz by the Pinchas HaLevi, he's horrible. The Rebbe of Chassam Sefer. His brother, the Rebbe of Smelter. The Nichols group. Famous Chavim of the Magi. Enough biographies are now. So, I told you about that. The famous Talamoy school. That's the one. I'm saying I only remember the biography, not the Torah. That's the only thing I'm afraid about. But Amaki says, discussing Chavile's Moros there, the one solution, like the element going up on the rope to go high on the twigs, every, what twigs? All of an elephant, branches, whatever. Branches? I don't know what of an elephant. Tree? Front tree. Okay, but everyone up on the keep the. So there, the Amaki said he thinks that they use thought about balls to lift something up. Not to be up, but to lift up. If your hands are like this and you just accept it and you don't pick it up, he suggests you would not be Conan. One second. Now, if it fits totally in your hands, you don't need that ball. You're calling it Taurus Live, come on. Taurus Yad, Taurus Master. But if it wasn't totally in your hands and you didn't lift it up, you're not going it. It's the markers, you have to actually lift it up. It's not enough to just have it up. That's the question. That's the big makalovas apostle. Again, you hear the shout? That's the makalovas. So here in the that's what I told you before, the statement of Mishnah is their own close to Shita Yishana. That was unprinted, no one had it. So Gittin didn't have it. The Machna didn't have it. Nobody had it. It's great. You see, open these new sources that shed light on things which we argued about for centuries. Yeah. If you look at the Shita Yishana, he says, like the Torah's given. Like the Torah's given. Shita Yishana says that, you know, in our Gemara, why you're not calling him a Torah Sagbor? According to the one who holds you don't require three tefachim. That's where you are on the floor. Near the floor, it's lovely. The Shidi Shana says, quote, hey, Kashi Yoda Mubad, and Shidi Yana Torah. But the implication is clear that it's above three tefachim, that you would be calling. So the implication of the Shidi Yashana on the side of whom? on the side of the Torah Gitt, on the side of the Torah Gitt. What's the Hezbra, Dava? He suggests the Hezbra here, that if I'm holding something in the air, you put it like this. If I would take my hands away, what would happen? Loose. Came before the Torah Gitt. Right? So it would fall right to the ground. Laws of gravity. Therefore, yes, that's deep of earth. The fact that I'm, my hand, that's considered a hot ball. You hear the ball over here? I don't have to lift it up. I'm resisting gravity. Am I almost buying two? I mean, I don't want to say it. But what's he saying? The fact is not for me. It's not for me. What happened to this? The plump would fall right to the ground. So therefore, the fact that I'm holding it is itself something. 1 second. But if my hand is less than 3 tefachim, let's say here's the ground. If I'm 2 tefachim off the ground and I'm holding it, truth, not to be false, it would fall 2 tefachim to the ground. It doesn't matter. No good. What's the hezbra of it? Now we're going to say what principle? Lovers. That's what I would have thought. That's the hamakna. You all like the hamakna. I also thought you were right. But here you take a thief of vote that I'm, the fact that I'm preventing it from falling to the ground is itself considered like a mice.
Brings this raya to the Torah's Gittin against our master. Against our master. Now, but he said no, and he quotes in the same Abnezer, who wants to say, you know what? But I argue on both the Torah's Gittin and our master in the case which sticks out of the hand. They have an Abnezer, you are Kona. I, by Fussy, you're not Kona. Before I was out of the Fussy. Yeah, these two arch, anyway, I'm using them purely in a pedagogical context. The enemies, that they are on opposite sides of this debate, so you have to pick it up or don't pick it up, but they both agree if it's sticking out, you're not Kona B'Torah, Yad B'Torah Sotter, right? Well, they have an ace, that's wrong. Why? They say that the following word. They sound in my mother's way. How you call it, but you call it the Torah's God, even though the cavern is sticking out, the head is sticking out of the past of hand. So I'm more saying if you want to speak of him, you call it the Torah's God. Let's speak of it, consider it lovers. And that we cannot say it's considered to be in her hand. So the stick sticks out of the side. When you're more than 3 tefachim above the ground, in a bar, the piece of bar gets up in there. I mean, it's a big furrow. Stuff it's over there. Look at this. If I'm near the ground, watch this, and it's sticking out. So half the pen is in my hand. Where's the other half? It's on the ground. I have 2 tefachim above the ground, it's on the ground. Love it. If I'm 10 tefachim above the ground, so it's in my hand. Where's the rest? Well, it's no man's land. It's nowhere. You can't say everything in the world has to be somewhere. That sounds like a prison of physics. It has to be somewhere. So you don't say this over here is on the ground. This is 5 feet above the ground. So it's all I was able to say. So where is it? It's in my hand. I stick it up. I stick it up. That's it. Time there I'm off. I take my hands. So one has my hands over here. And again, you pick it up also. We actually do have balls. The Abnezer might say that our ball is no good. Against it, Torah's given on that point. He'll say only call the B'Torah's what? B'Torah's Yad Sotzer, Yad Slash Sotzer. Aye, for that, why is 3 tefachim relevant? But that's a piece of forest, he's saying. But if I'm within, it's all in economics. If it was all in my hand, it would work. It was worth even below. But now that it's sticking out of my hand, If it's above, it works not with Torah's Tagbor, as in the Steve Torah's getting said, because the Tagbor might be no good if it weren't to him. But with Torah's what? Yad. I would tell us, yeah, the water we're giving us 2 inches above the ground. Love is to...
Okay.
That's the previous one.